Welcome to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson, a space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Hello, my amazing listeners. I'm Kim Wilson. Thank you for listening to Amazing Relationships with Kim Wilson. I created this platform to spread love. What that looks like for me is to help people go from having relationships that may feel challenging to feeling amazing. We all come from a relationship, and a relationship will exist around us wherever we go, whether it's with family, friends, medical providers, our local government. Today we're talking about the impact of trauma. Sometimes what directly impacts our relationships with others is when we or a person inside of that relationship experiences trauma. Shavonda Dykes is here to help us take a closer look at trauma. She is the founder and director of Surviving Transitions, LLC. She is a licensed professional counselor in the state of Georgia and a national certified counselor. Shavonda is also a certified clinical trauma professional and master addiction counselor. This lady is serious about her work and is a gift to the mental health field. Shavonda Dykes, welcome, and thank you for joining me today.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I think we should start with a definition of trauma. And I say that because a lot of times when I talk about trauma with people, they sometimes think of something very tragic and severe. And from my experience, sometimes somebody can say the wrong thing to you, or you can overhear a conversation that feels hurtful to you, and that can be traumatic. So it doesn't always have to be like a tragic car accident for somebody to experience trauma. So from your experience, Shavonda, what is trauma?
Okay. Well, Kim, first of all, you're absolutely right. Trauma definitely needs to be spelled out. And for me, trauma is simple. It's a body wound or shock produced by sudden physical injury, as from violence or an accident, as you just pointed out, or an experience that produces physiological injury or pain. Mm-hmm. So spelled out, trauma is pain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So for you as a certified trauma professional, what has been your experience in working with individuals who have trauma? What does that whole process look like?
Initially, the process can be challenging because oftentimes individuals may sense that they've been traumatized, but tracing the trauma back to where it actually originated at can be different, especially if this individual has been in multiple placements, foster home to foster home, or has moved often. But I find in my practice that I have individuals that do not realize that they've been traumatized. And that typically looks like, oh, I didn't know this person was touching me, you know, that traumatized me. Or I didn't realize being molested was considered trauma. I simply dealt with it and kind of swept it under the rug. My family didn't discuss this. So these individuals grow up, they become adults, and they come in 20, 30 years later, and they're struggling to maintain relationships with families, partners, any and everyone that they come in contact with.
Mm. So when they struggle inside of these relationships, I want to take a look at what that struggle looks like. I mean, are they struggling to communicate? Are they struggling to maintain happiness? What, for some people, you know, what does that struggle look like sometimes?
That struggle varies from person to person, but it often struggles with the breakdown in communication. You know, communication is the basis of all relationships, from your hairstylist to your banker. Relationships are the essence of life. So mm-hmm. everyone has a relationship with someone. You know, we were made to be interdependent. So when they're struggling to convey their thoughts, oftentimes the feelings of guilt, confusion, frustration, anger, hopelessness, and just an ambivalence of more feelings come across because they're unable to verbalize what they're feeling and it be received by the other person.
Unable to verbalize what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of hang out there for a second because that's very important. I mean, the first nugget that you gave here was communication. And if somebody has been traumatized and if they don't know that they've been traumatized and they are operating inside this relationship with someone and the other person, they don't know that they are in a relationship with a person who has been traumatized. So at that point, I'm thinking, okay, so for the person on the other side of that, if that communication has not been released to them, that presents or that can present a whole nother struggle within itself, which is why communication is so important because it becomes a powerful tool for you.
And you're correct again.
So just for you all that know, I laugh slightly because I've known this Jim for a long time. And so she is a colleague of mine. And so when she tell me that I'm correct again, that's just our own little private language. But going forward, so when dealing with people who come in and they have experienced trauma, how do you direct them or what kind of recommendation do you start with to kind of help the person that they are in a relationship with, whether it's family members or a spouse, to help them to create a language to say, hey, I now recognize that I've been traumatized and this is what I need from you. Where do they go from there? Where do they go? What is the next step once they understand that they've been traumatized?
Once they truly understand that, we do a lot of work focused around trauma interventions and CBT work because I encourage them to first tell their story. Until they get it out, they are clearly unfamiliar with a trauma narrative and identifying this trauma occurred and as a result, this is what happened. So once they are able to share that, then we begin the actual trauma work. And that isn't accomplished in 1 to 2 sessions. And it can be lengthy and even more challenging because now we're equipping them with tools and skills that they can use inside of the session as well as in their own homes. So these skills can range from communication skills, coping skills, something as simple as journaling and drawing, which may sound silly for an adult, but I've seen some of the most illustrative drawings in just 2 to 3 sessions where someone is mentally going back to being an 8-year-old victim with tape over their mouth, being threatened if they told a family member that Uncle Jojo may have been touching them inappropriately. Now they are married with children, and this is something that their spouse did not know. So giving them that safety, if you will, to put the boundaries in place but to come out with that trauma can be very therapeutic for them. However, it's often scary because they fear the stigma, I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be disowned. No one will believe me. This has been so many years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the top of that, you said trauma intervention and CBT work. And for our people, for our listeners that may not know what CBT work is, can we kind of break down trauma intervention and CBT work? You gave a lot of it, I know, with telling your story and coping and journaling, but break down CBT work for people who may not know what that is or what that stands for.
Okay. CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy, and in the cognitive behavioral therapy approach, for me, everything starts with a thought. Those thoughts are connected to your feelings and emotions. So once we begin to fully explore and process that by having discussions around how that individual is feeling, what they're thinking, we then begin to get to the underlying root are cause of their antecedents, our triggers. So then we begin to sketch out this picture of what happened and why they are currently feeling the way they are feeling. Okay.
Yes.
So that's for the CBT piece, and for the trauma work, it involves, like I stated earlier, the narratives, the journaling, just a plethora of skills that go along with supporting that individual in his or her recovery, because they have to essentially verbalize it, express it, get it out, and have a place of healing so that they can move forward and be productive in relationships and not fear communicating, because that's one of the greatest barriers for them.
Yes. And so I want people to first walk away with that. Thoughts are connected to feelings and behavior. But, you know, I want to make sure if you're listening, write that down. You know, if this information feels new to you, that's an important piece, to know that your thoughts are connected to your feelings and your behavior. Now, tell the story. That is huge. And I want people to put a circle around that too, because when we hold on to our story and we don't release it and we don't tell anybody, a couple of things are happening with that, because it's not a part of the release. And then when we don't find somebody or connect with somebody to share that with, it can create this pathway to shame. Mm-hmm. And shame keeps us in a space where we are not able to heal and connect to all of those healing modalities that are available to us. So thank you so much for highlighting that about telling the story. And so let's move on to the tools and the skills. And because that is something that people, they are probably doing it, and they don't know it. And I think sometimes when you're able to put a name and a label of what you're doing and understand what you're doing, I think it kind of opens up, it turns on this light bulb. And sometimes some of these basic things like journaling, drawing, and you said coping. Let's talk about coping just a second.
Okay.
Open up. Unpack coping for me. What does coping, go inside that word a little bit for me, coping.
Excuse me. Coping is typically what individuals do to not just get through these feelings, but how they relate to them and tie into the impasse that they were previously at. So if I have an individual that typically likes to isolate because he or she has been traumatized by a family member, friend, whomever, they will typically sit and they're so withdrawn. So it's my goal to get them to come out of isolation and not be thinking about harming themselves or someone else. They will start drawing, journaling, and a lot of my clients do other things such as knitting, playing video games. Coping allows them the ability to shift their thoughts from, oh my gosh, this was so awful, I must be an awful person, to this happened, I'm okay, and this is not just allowing me to escape from what I'm feeling, but it's giving me permission to be myself and know that I am okay. I'm not a bad person. So through their coping mechanisms, as we typically call them, they're able to validate who they are and oftentimes reduce symptoms such as isolation, withdrawal, depression, and overall just their willingness to want to, quote unquote, think negatively about themselves and sabotage what they're already doing.
Nugget number two. Oh, this is good. So basically what I hear you saying is when you participate in coping, whether you're doing something like knitting, drawing, journaling, playing video games, you're giving yourself permission to shift your thoughts from thinking about something negative and doing something positive and saying to yourself, I am okay. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, that is correct.
This is nugget, because sometimes people do say, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, here, a nugget has been laid before your feet. There is something for you to do. You have the power to shift your thoughts. You can give yourself permission to do something else, to think positively, and to participate in some activities that produces positive feelings inside of you. So I like the other thing that you said. You said, put boundaries in place. I like the way that sounds. Put boundaries in place, because sometimes when Thanksgiving Day dinner comes along, or special events, and we have to be around family members or people who may have caused some of our traumatic injuries, and it has not been talked about, and others around us don't know how much we've been traumatized, but you know. So talk to me a little bit about putting boundaries in place. How can we do that, especially at a family reunion or a family function? What does that look like?
That looks like, regardless of who's there, you are not going to allow your past to basically trap you. The individual who may be there that actually caused the trauma that you have experienced doesn't necessarily have to get a hug from you. Doesn't necessarily have to walk up to you and say how you're doing and you decide to punch them one good time. But putting boundaries in place says, I'm protecting me and my feelings. I can be vulnerable, but at the end of the day, I'm leaving here with my head held high, and I choose not to engage with him or her, whomever that perpetrator was. I can speak to Aunt Betty. I can speak to Uncle Sam. That may have been their child. I don't have to acknowledge him if that's not what I feel. My boundaries allow me to communicate with those that I feel safe with. So I may not be at a point where I feel safe with their son who was the perpetrator. So think about this. The first 5 years of a child's life is learned from pure observation. So zero from birth to five, that's pure observation. The role models are typically caregivers, such as parents, grandparents, supportive family members that can also be foster parents, and the village, as we call it. These may also include extended family. So whenever one or more of these individuals are not fulfilling their roles, there's a breakdown in the child's foundation. So that foundation can be, okay, I'm not seeing communication going on a lot in the home. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of drinking. There's a lot of things that may not be typical in most households, but I'm seeing this, and I haven't developed the language to verbalize what I'm feeling, so I don't really say too much, but I'm a real bright child. I just can't tell anyone what's going on inside of my home. So these breakdowns may often cause separation, grief and loss, neglect, abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, sexual, even addiction, and just the lack of supervision or stability for a child. So I don't know who I can really trust, Kim.
Wow, okay, so trust. I'm going to put a circle around trust. If I have experienced, you know, grief, loss, separation, and if I have witnessed violence, and I am now an adult, and I still live with this feeling inside of my heart that I don't know who I can trust. Tell me how that impacts me or the person that I'm in a relationship with, or even with family members. You know, as an adult, tell me some of the ways that shows up in a relationship when you have trust issues as a result of being traumatized.
That may often show up as insecurity, paranoia, distrustful, aggressive questioning and or attacks, blaming, and more importantly, I just don't believe anything you say, so automatically you're a liar.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if you're telling the truth, you're a liar.
Mm.
It doesn't matter that you know I'm telling the truth, you're still a liar because I don't believe you. I don't know how to believe you.
Mm. I don't know how to believe you. That's powerful. So if somebody has experienced trauma and they have not reframed it in their head that way and they don't own it, and if you find yourself having a pattern of difficult relationships, and if you look inside those relationships, if you find yourself feeling insecure, paranoid, you have aggressive questioning, blaming, understanding that, hey, looking back inside of your life story, which is so important, that goes back to that first nugget, tell your story, because when you tell your story, you can hear some of your patterns, identify some of your patterns, and understand what you've actually encountered to kind of get you to this place where you feel traumatized.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So after we have identified the impact that trauma has on us and it has on our relationships, That's okay. This is live. But I love it. We're gonna keep moving forward. So if we realize that going forward, how do we deal with the impact of trauma? And I know you gave a couple of nuggets before, such as the journaling, the coping, but how do we pull that other person in? How do we help them to understand, look, I've been traumatized? How do we help the relationship to become better?
I think that starts with just honest dialogue around what happened and having that transparency so that whomever your partner is, no one's judging you, but you feel safe enough. But remember, if I'm struggling to communicate, I may be angry. I may be distrustful. I don't know that I can tell this person that, and today when I come home from work, they will be there. So you have to allow yourself the permission to be authentic, but more importantly, when I say this, what am I up against? Am I going to lose a partner? Because oftentimes that's what holds us in these stinking thinking patterns. Like, I don't know what to anticipate. If I don't know that I can believe someone, for me, taking the biggest step is sharing my trauma with them. And that person may say, okay, so I see why you ask 21 questions each time I leave the house. I see why you need to go through my cell phone. I see why you just don't trust me. And hopefully that person will listen and be a supporter for you. That's the biggest goal, someone that's supportive.
Nugget number three. To improve their relationship, you have to have honest dialogue. You know, I always say, I think honesty represents bricks because bricks are solid. And when I think of honesty, I think about the story of the three little pigs. One built a house of straw, wood, and one built a house of bricks. The only house that remained standing was the house built of bricks. Trust, honesty, that's your foundation of a relationship. If you don't have honesty and trust in a relationship, you don't have anything solid. Because we build everything on top of trust and honesty. And so I love when Shavonda says we have to have an honest dialogue because it creates transparency. It creates this space where you get to feel safe. And if you feel safe enough that I trust you enough not to judge me, I trust you enough to accept me, and I trust this process enough for honesty to float around in the air. Shavonda Dykes?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to say thank you and well done because you've left us with three powerful nuggets today. One, tell your story. Thoughts are connected to feelings and behavior. You know, we got to get it out there. That's part of the release. You know, tell your story to somebody that you trust. And two, when you acknowledge there is trauma, part of that work and intervention, some of the things that we can do on a very basic level is to draw and journal and cope. And sometimes coping looks like drawing and journaling and knitting and playing video games, whatever that produces a positive feeling, a positive thought, because we do want to shift some of those thoughts around, shift that negative thought out and replace it with a positive thought. And three, it starts with the honest dialogue, and all of those are connected and tied together. Shavonda, do you have anything coming up going on for you, and how can people find you?
People can visit my webpage, which is www.survivingtransitionswithans.com. And I am scheduling some events for April. I know that I will be presenting at West Georgia Technical School. I don't have that date yet. And I'm also doing a mental health workshop in Columbia, South Carolina in mid-April. But those events will be listed on my website as well.
Oh, wonderful. Any other last-minute comments, thoughts, or questions about trauma?
Yes. If you feel like you've been traumatized, if you feel like something has happened and you don't quite know what it was that happened, I encourage any and everyone with a pulse to speak with someone that will listen. It doesn't necessarily have to be a professional for you to come out and say something happened, but my prayer is whomever you speak this to will take the next step and direct you to where it is you need to be so that you can explore these things in a therapeutic setting. Because trauma doesn't discriminate. So, again, those are my final thoughts for today. And thank you for having me again, Ms. Kim.
Well, thank you for coming. All right, that is going to do it. She's a gem. I thank you so much. Listen, if you feel just a little bit better as a result of listening to this podcast, please know and understand you've just been loved. You're listening to Amazing Relationships with Kim Wilson.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com. That's kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.